Church family, Psalm 105, if you've got your Bible tonight, I want to look at this passage. There's actually 45 verses in it. Whenever I have long passages, I have a tendency to feel like I'm going to lose you tonight, and I don't want to, but I want to teach this entire chapter. It shouldn't take me but 2 or 3 hours, and then we'll be done. And we're going to do a verse-by-verse study, and then we'll exegete each word of each verse and try to really get the deeper meaning behind this chapter. And so, again, I hope that you're ready tonight and you brought a pen with you. And we'll take some notes. Shouldn't take but 3 or 4 pages. But tonight we'll look at this. On a more serious matter, as far as the scriptures, I'm not going to be long. But I do want to show you the entire chapter. And I want to teach a thought concerning this particular chapter tonight. So I hope that you'll stay with us tonight. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, again, thank you for your word. Lord, I ask you to please again give us the words to say tonight. Fill us with your spirit. Lord, I ask you to please help each person listening to be filled with the Spirit as well. Lord, help us to take in, and then Lord, put into practice what you lay upon our heart tonight. Lord, again, bless each person. Lord, thank you again from the youngest to the oldest. Thank you for bringing this group, this assembly, this ecclesia together. Father, may we honor you, Lord, in the service and out. Father, draw us closer to you. Help these services, Lord, to challenge us and to be better, to be closer, drawn to you. And Lord, Psalm 105, would you open our eyes of understanding tonight? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, I feel like I'm going to teach tonight. I'm not a good teacher, but I do want to exhort you tonight from the scriptures out of Psalm 105. Let me just say a couple things about this chapter before we look into it tonight. 1 Chronicles, I believe, chapter 16, verse 7 through 22. You want to turn to it, but it's really this psalm. David brings the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And, of course, it hadn't been there for 20 years. Saul didn't look to the Ark. Of course, the Ark of the Covenant was the picture of the presence of God. And so here, David brings it back. You know what happened. The first time he brought it back, he didn't do it properly. The Levites weren't carrying the Ark. They had it on a cart. That's because they copied the Philistines. And you understand what happened. Uzzah dies. And, of course, for 3 months, it's in the house of Obed-Edom. And now David's going to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And he's got a tent set up for it. And it was going to be kind of like the temporary holding place or the tabernacle of that sort. So the Ark of the Covenant's coming back, and David gets it there, and of course he comes in dancing, and Mike, in a good way, Michael criticizes him for his excitement and his love for God. David writes this particular psalm. In fact, this particular psalm as a whole of these 45 verses are not mentioned in 1 Chronicles chapter number 16, just verses 7 through 22, so only a portion of this particular psalm. David is excited. He comes back and he teaches the people that they should be excited. They should be excited about God. If you have a pen tonight and you circle, underline in your Bible, if I can pinpoint some things for you, in verses 1 through 5, you're going to notice the first word, or the second word I'll show you here in just a second, that David is trying to get across to the people. In verse number 1, the word give, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Verse number 2, the word sing, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Verse number 3, the word glory, glory ye in his holy name. Verse number 4, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. And then verse number 5, the first word, remember. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Now, church family, I'm not going to spend a long time tonight going through those tonight. I want you to notice the breakdown of this particular chapter. Because in these 45 verses, in the first 4 verses, he says, this is what we're going to do. We're going to give glory to God. We're going to sing unto him. We're going to seek his face. Then he tells us how that's going to happen in the rest of the chapter. In fact, it's very interesting in the rest of the chapter here in verse number 5. You'll notice there's not a period at the end of verse number 5. He says, remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. And then from verse number 6 down to the end of the chapter, verse 45, all he's doing is remembering. Church family, I'm convinced tonight, and this is the message tonight, that if we would remember, we wouldn't have a hard time glorifying the Lord. If we would remember, we wouldn't have a hard time singing about him. If we would remember, we wouldn't have a hard time seeking his face. And this chapter really proclaims that about what David tells the children of Israel. Hey, we just need to remember. And we need to remember what God has done. All right, now I'm going to break the chapter up. I don't know if you mark your Bible or if you mark the verses. But verses 6 through verse number 15 is talking about Abraham. You'll notice in verse number 6, it says, O ye seed of Abraham. I circled Abraham in my Bible because it mentions these guys by name. It says, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. So verse number 6 through verse number 15, David is remembering Abraham, the friend of God. how God made a promise to him that there would be a people as well as a place. And God fulfilled that promise. And verse number is the next category, section is verse 16 through verse 25. You'll notice the person is Joseph in verse number 17. He sent a man before them, even Joseph. In verse number 16 through 25, he's going to talk about Joseph and what Joseph did and how God used Joseph to be able to have the children of Israel come to Egypt and again during the times of famine. You'll notice the next grouping of verses, verse number 26 through verse number 41. And the person in verse number 26 is Moses. He sent Moses, his servant. And he's going to talk about Moses in verse 16 through verse number 41. And he reminds them of the children of Israel in Egypt and the 10 plagues and coming out of Egypt into the wilderness and the manna that God gave him and the water out of the rock. And then in verse 42 through verse 45 is your last section. And the name is not mentioned. Joshua would be the person. But Joshua is not mentioned by name, but that's who it's talking about. We see that in verse 43 where it says, and he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness and gave them the lands of the heathen. That was Canaan land. And they inherited the labor of the people. So here you have David. He comes back and the Ark of the Covenant is coming in. They place the Ark of the Covenant in this particular tent. And then David sings this psalm, or has, I should say, his musicians sing this particular psalm of praise and glory to God. And the psalm starts off with, hey, listen, we need to glorify God. We need to sing about God. We need to seek God. And David says, now here's why and here's how, if you just remember. And David goes through these four time periods, the time of Abraham, the time of Joseph, the time of Moses, and the time of Joshua. And he tells them, remember, four particular things. And I know every good message has three points, but tonight there's four. I want you to notice these four things tonight because I want to tell you as a Christian, if we would remember these four things in our life, I don't think you'd have to try to build up excitement about God. I don't think you'd have to work at having your devotions. There would be something that would cause us to just want to do it. And I think David hits it, and obviously under the inspiration of God, as he writes this psalm, reminds them, this is what you need to remember. If you're with me so far, say amen. All right, thank you so much. I know it's teachy tonight, but I want you to follow me now. Here's the first one. Look back at your Bible now in verse number 6. What did David tell them to remember? In verse number 6, he says, O you seed of Abraham, verse 6, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Now notice verse number 8. He hath remembered his, what's the word? Covenant forever. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which, again, the word covenant, he made, covenant means solemn promise, which covenant he made with Abraham in his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting, what's the word again? What was the covenant about? Verse number 11, saying unto thee, will I give the land of Canaan the lot of your inheritance, when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it. I'll just stop there. But God made a covenant, a promise to Abraham that his seed would be as the stars of heaven and that he would inherit a land called the land of Canaan. Now, church, I mean, let's make the application tonight. I think it's really simple. I want to tell you, it's very easy to seek God, get up and have your devotions in the morning. It's very easy to sing about the Lord during a service. It's very easy to glorify and glory in his name when you remember of his promises. Can I tell you the very first thing that he tells Abraham, tells the children of Israel, David, he says, now listen, you need to remember God. This idea of praising him and giving glory to him as the Ark of the Covenant comes and he sets it in his place would not be a very difficult thing if you would just remember the promises of God. How many saved tonight? Say amen. Amen. Then you accepted a promise of God. God said, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that you'll have eternal life. And you're banking on that if you walk outside those doors, get run over by a car, or drop dead of a heart attack, that you're going to be forever with God. And why is that? Because of the promises of God. I want to tell you, when we take the scriptures and we can come back to that, when I'm having a trouble or a trial of my life, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. If we just take the promises of God of every area of our life, give and it shall be given unto you. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. If we would just take all of the promises of scripture, I want to tell you, you wouldn't be in the doldrums. You would not have discouragement as a way of life. You know why? Because it's the promises of God. And what are the promises of God? It's the word of God. David says in Psalm 119 how the comfort that a person gets is from the word of God. Everything about the word of God, when you think about it, Psalm 119, 105, he says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God gives us direction. We understand 2 Timothy chapter 3, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness. We understand it's the word of God that brings correction in our life. Listen to me, you don't need a preacher or a parent. You've got the word of God and the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you. If you're sensitive at all to the Holy Spirit of God, it won't take much to read the book, and the book will bring you under conviction about where you should be a better Christian or what you need to do in your life. We understand that the power of the Word of God and how God uses it in our hearts and life. Church family, can I just tell you, we've got a book full of promises. I want to tell you, all you have to do when you're having a problem in life is open the book and find a promise. I like Titus when it tells us that God, I like the phrase, that God who cannot lie, cannot. I want to tell you, you're going through a rough time in your life. I know that they actually have books that people have put together. I've got several in my office of the promises of God and people who have found promises for anxiety and promises for when they have a need and promises in their life concerning family. And we can pull those and just categorize the promises. All you do is open up the book, claim the promise. Claim the promise. I can glorify God and I can glory in God when I'm having a rough time and when people are against me, when people are talking and all of the things that go that weigh on our minds. I got a promise. You know, different times of eras of my, in eras or times, if I can say it that way, of life, my Bible reading has changed. I try to stay with at least reading 3 or 4 chapters a day because I want to make sure I read through my Bible in a year. But my Bible reading has changed. Revelation changed me. I read 2 chapters a day now in my Bible reading because of a time of life where I take Revelation 1:3, where God says that I'll bless you for the person who reads it, hears it, and keeps it. Amen. I've had other times in my life, difficult times of life, that I've made a change. I read at least 1 to 3 chapters a day just out of the Psalms. Because the Psalms seem to have particular promises. Amen. I like those particular promises. I've changed my journaling. I journal every day of life. And to be honest with you, I do it for several reasons. I do it because I have a bad memory and I want to remember things. I do it because I want something to hand down to my children of what life was like in a long period of it. So every day I write and put pictures with that journal. And a time of life, I put a promise now every day. A promise that from my Bible reading that I put with the beginning of the day and the promise of the day is. And I start every day with that promise. Can I tell you, those promises, because we believe, it helps. You know, I want to tell you something. We get encouragement from one another. And what a blessing it is when somebody gives us that word. Hey, you can do it. Or I love you. Or I'm praying for you. But I want to tell you, the person that's your best friend cannot do more for you than what God can. So when God says, this is what's going to happen, I'm here to take care of you, I'm going to give you my mercy, my love, you claim those promises. And you know what it causes you to do? It causes you to glorify the Lord. You know what it causes you to do? It causes you to seek his face even more. You know what it causes you to do? It causes you to sing about him. I think that David, when he was writing this psalm, and he starts off the psalm about sing unto the Lord. Remember the 5 words? Actually, the 4 words. He says to give glory to God. He says to sing unto the Lord. He says to seek God. All of these things. And then he says, remember. And then he spends the entire rest of the chapter saying, remember this, and remember this, and remember this, and remember this. Because remembering those things helps me sing about God and seek God and praise God. Amen. First thing he says, think about the promises of God in Abraham. What about Joseph? Look at your Bible again in verse number 16 through verse number 25. Moreover, verse 16, he called for a famine upon the land. We know the story. Pharaoh had a dream. There'd be 7 years of famine, 7 years of plenty. I'm sorry, 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man. That's your famine. I like that phrase. Joseph thought maybe his life was an accident. His brothers didn't like him. His brothers took his coat of many colors and cast him into a pit. His brothers sold him to the Ishmaelites, and the Ishmaelites sold him as a slave. Potiphar got upset with him and put him in prison. I can imagine Joseph's life. He thinks, good God, did you forget me here? And I like when you come to the book of Psalms and it writes, he sent a man. Amen. The problems you have in your life are not by accident. God sent. Look what he says next here. He says, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. Wasn't easy, was it? He was laid in iron. Church family, what's the first three words of verse number 19? Church family, I think that David is telling this about remembering Joseph, and I know that we could read the rest of it and how God made him governor of Egypt and how he's in the palace. Follow me for just a moment. Do you understand what David is trying to say here? Yes, remember God's promises through Abraham, but remember God's plan in Joseph. Amen. Joseph thought there was no plan, but there was a plan. It was God's plan. I don't know what's going on in your life, and you might seem very bewildered in your life, like, why am I here, and what's my use, and what does God want in my life? Can I just tell you, God sees the beginning from the end. Brother Dylan and I were talking on the way out. I hope you don't mind me sharing a little bit of this morning. I won't talk about particulars, but Brother Dylan, the nice thing about being in the same church a long time, you get to see people's lives. He was walking out today and he was talking about the blessings that God has been giving him in his life. And I just told him, I said, it's nice to see backwards of where things were and where you are at now. And he had a rough time in his life years ago. It seemed very much a struggle as far as job and what God was doing in his life. And it's neat to see. He showed me pictures today. I've got to go up on a plane with him before when he's fueling other planes in midair. That was exciting. And the Lord's done some great things for him. And I just said, it's nice to be able to look back and where you are now. And can I just tell you, when Joseph was going through the rough time, he could never even imagine that he'd have been a governor in Egypt. He could have never imagined that they would be answering to him and that he would lead a country that would have gone through famine and had nothing, and God used him to be able to bless a nation. Hey, can I just tell you, what causes you to praise God and to seek God and to glorify his name is to realize God's got a plan in this thing. I don't watch much of the news, and for a long, probably a couple of years, I didn't watch any news. News is discouraging, by the way. So I decided, you know what? There's no sense in me watching the news and then getting up on the pulpit and being mean and upset and angry about what's going on out there. God knows what's going on out there. Amen. I've gotten to a place now where every once in a while I'll listen to a little bit. My wife keeps up with the news. She's always in a bad mood. And hey, can I just tell you, you watch the news and you think to yourself, what in the world is going to happen to this world? I want to tell you what's going to happen. Jesus is coming back. He's going to set his kingdom up, and we get to live and reign with him. I'm just telling you, God's got a plan. And we, because we don't know what the plan is yet, we have a hard time understanding. I want to tell you something. You can praise God because you can take it to the bank. God has a plan for your life. He's got a plan for this church, and he's got a plan for the United States of America and his entire globe. God's got a plan. And Joseph, when he was going through the hard times of life, of being his, as the Bible says there, it's very interesting, in verse number 18, whose feet they hurt with fetters. You don't understand what that means, don't you? It means they took a steel rod, put his feet up, and they would beat the bottom of his feet until they were bloody. I don't know about you, but Joseph, when he's going through that and he's thinking to himself, he's without a father, he's without a mother, he's without his brethren. He's away from home, and he's sitting in a prison for something he did not do. And he's thinking, what in the world is going on here? But God had a plan. I want to tell you something. David tells this story to remind him and to remind Israel. Hey, listen, I can praise God because he's got a plan. Quickly, something else here I want you to see. Not only in Abraham we see God's promise, in Joseph we see God's plan. I want you to look at the next one, verse number 26 through verse number 41, is Moses. Verse number 26, he sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. It says, they showed his signs among them, among Egypt, and wonders in the land of Ham, talking about Egypt. He sent darkness, that was the 11th plague. Verse 29, he turned their water into blood, the first plague. If you jump to verse number 31, he spake, and there came divers sorts of flies and lice. Verse number 34, he spake and the locusts came. Verse 36, he smote also all the firstborn in their land and the chief of all their strength. When they finally leave Egypt, look at verse number 39, he spread a cloud, that was the pillar of cloud by day for a covering, and fire, that was the pillar of fire by night, and fire to give light in the night. Verse 40, they're in the wilderness and the people asked, and he brought quails. when they asked for meat and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. That was the manna. They came times where they had no water. In verse 41, he opened the rock and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. Church, I guess what I want you to see, and I hope it's pretty evident, is God's power. Amen. You ever thought about David is telling this story to the children of Israel? He says, we're here to glorify God. And if you can't glorify God, just remember. Just remember what God did through Abraham by giving him the promise. And that's why David's speaking. That's why we're here. God promised that the Israelites would be as the stars of heaven. And he'd give them a place and it'd be Jerusalem. And he says, God fulfilled that promise. He says, I want you to think about Joseph and how God had a plan. And we all know the story of our patriarch Joseph and how he went through all of that, but God had a plan and how God used him to spare a nation and the surrounding nations through that famine. He says, I want you to think about Moses. Moses was not the one that sent the flies and the lice and the darkness and the killing of the firstborn. It was God, but it was a powerful God. He says, when they got into the wilderness, you ought to think about, they had no food. God sent manna, angels' food from heaven. They had no food. They had no meat. And God sent quail, meat that they could eat for over a month. It was God that did all that. Water out of a rock, walking over on dry ground. Church family, I want to tell you something. When you're having a hard time praising the Lord, you need to think about how powerful God is. This finite mind, this mortal man, we cannot think like God thinks or act like God acts. We can't comprehend the greatness of God. He's a great God. Amen. Go outside tonight when you go and look up into the blue sky and see the clouds that are around. As far as you can see, that's God. We sometimes think of God so close to us, but yet God is so vast from us. But yet close to us. Many of you, if you just go back to your lives and think about how many times God spared the life of your children, or how many times God supplied a need that you was miraculous. Amen. The power of God. If you just look back in life on what could have happened, that should have happened, that God didn't allow to happen, because of God's hand of protection in your life. Amen. That's the power of God. Church, I mean, we can't always comprehend that power. Church family, he's the one that gave you those children, which means he's the one that gave life. The power of God. When we talk about God doing the impossible, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. That's because it's only God can do the impossible. Hey, yes, you can praise God. And you can praise God during the rough times of life as well as the good times of life. Because I want to tell you why. Because God's got a plan. I want to tell you why. Because God's all powerful. I want to tell you why. Because you got the promises of God. That's what he's telling the children of Israel. Is they are all coming about. Michael's up in the window looking and criticizing those that are glorifying God. And he's telling the children of Israel, hey, listen, we've got a lot to glorify God about. Well, I wish things were better. Thank God he doesn't make them worse. So he talks about the power of God and how God used Moses. And then last of all, I want you to notice verse number 42 through verse 45. Joshua comes to the Canaan land, crosses over the Jordan River on dry ground. In verse 42, for he remembered his holy promise, the promise to Abraham of that place called Canaan, and Abraham his servant, and he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness, God's chosen, God's people. Verse 44, and he gave them the lands, the Canaan land of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise you, the Lord. Church, I want you to think about the children of Israel in these last four verses. I know he only used just about four verses to explain it, but church, I mean, you know the story. When they came into Canaan land, the Bible said that they would inherit vineyards they didn't plant. They would inherit homes that they didn't build. They would inherit land that was not their own, and God would give it to them freely. And if I can put it this way, you want to praise God? Think about God's provision in your life. The provision that God gave to the children of Israel that they did nothing for, that he said, I'm going to give you a land that floweth with what? That's God. That's God. Church, if we're not careful, we always think about the more that we want instead of the greatness that God's already given to us in our life. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Sometimes we forget that family is a gift of God. We forget about church and fellow members and part of the body of Christ. God gave those to us to be part of a body. Sometimes we fail to remember or to think about that every breath, the Bible says that he knows our steps, a book of our members, a book of our tears. God keeps track of everything in our life, and God's provided for us in such a great way. I'm not here to compare tonight on where you're at and what you have, but most of you drove tonight. You didn't take camel. You didn't come by bicycle. You got in a vehicle and you drove tonight. Tonight, you all seem dressed well tonight. There's nobody in here that's really without. You were able to dress. You're able to come. Many of you tonight are waiting upon supper when the service is over and you're thinking about what you're going to eat tonight. I'm just saying, God's provided for us. And you know what that ought to cause you to do? Cause you ought to seek him. Cause you ought to glorify him. Cause you ought to want to sing about him. Church, I mean, if we would just remember all that God's done for us, it would cause the fruit of our lips just to pour out about how good God is. Amen. Listen, may we never forget the reason we were created was twofold. One, to bring glory to God. Number two, to do his pleasure. That's what you were created for. I want to tell you, we need to glorify the Lord, and the best way to do that is just remember. Amen. Listen, you know what the devil's going to do? He's going to cause you to remember bad times of life. But I want to just tell you, church family, no matter what bad times we've gone in our life, we won't have to go for 1 second in hell. Amen. Regardless of the bad times of life, I have direct access to the Father and he hears my prayer. Regardless of the bad times of life, I have a Holy Spirit that dwells inside of me that helps me deal with this flesh. We need to glorify the Lord. Listen, isn't it interesting the model prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, starts with glorifying him. It ends with glorifying him. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Hey, we need to make sure that we're a body of believers that constantly glorifies God. And if you're having a hard time doing that, I want to tell you what David said in the Psalms. He spent the bulk of the chapter saying, remember. Remember what God's done for you. Can we close by looking at those verses one last time at the beginning of the chapter? In verse number one, here's what he said. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Verse 2, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Verse 3, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Verse 4, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. How are you going to do that? Remember. Church family, I know there's times of life, my wife and I, we've gone through some of those times. You think about the times as you're sitting by the bedside of your child that's in a hospital. You think about those times of people that you love turn against you. You think about those times that you're sick. I want to just tell you something. Just remember, God has a plan. God has a promise. God has a provision. And God's all powerful. It'll cause you to rejoice in the Lord. Would you bow your head and close your eyes?